With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Give it to me.
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the podcast about trends, things we just learned, stuff we're pretty sure is hot right now in some part of the country, maybe not yours, maybe not ours. You know, stuff we like to talk about. Thanks for joining us.
If you're explaining this to a friend, you can say like, oh, it's about cultural trends. But really, it's secretly unlocking the secrets of the world.
Yes. It totally is. I don't think it's overstating this podcast at all to
not
say
a
that
bit.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Not a bit. Mm-hmm. You will, because conspiracy theories are very popular on YouTube these days, we have to pitch it that way.
Yes, exactly. Illuminati, smash the like button.
Yeah. Don't let the deep state tell you otherwise.
There was a not very brief period in time when my son went around constantly saying, Illuminati confirmed. Just like in response to anything, you know,
right?
Dinner's ready.
Illuminati confirmed. That's great. I'm going to start doing that now.
I know. It is really pretty delightful. I'm not going to lie.
That's the best
thing. It went on a little too long, as things do when you're an adolescent.
Oh, yeah.
But still pretty funny.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Yeah. Well done.
So on today's show, we're going to confirm the Illuminati.
Boom. We are going to get to the bottom of a lot of things, a lot of mysteries on today's show. shall I start with the mystery that occurred to me at a Japanese restaurant last weekend?
Yes, please do.
I was at a lovely, lovely Japanese restaurant in Studio City, California. Great place, great food, run by Japanese people. Not that you can't have a Japanese restaurant not run by Japanese people, but, you know, that's going to be important here in a second. Okay. So we're sitting there, Eileen and I, my wife, having some, she was having some saba shioyaki, which is like a mackerel. I was having a chicken curry, katsu, and a group of four women come in and sit down at the table next to us. And I cannot not overhear things when I'm in a restaurant. If I'm not actively talking or listening to the person across from me, if there's silence in our conversation, or even sometimes when the other person across from me is talking, I just can't help overhearing things. So I'm overhearing these women talk about how they all sneaked away from their families today. They didn't tell them where they were going. And some of their sons had things and some of their daughters had things. And they were all giggling about how they all sneaked away to have Japanese dinner. And I was charmed by this. I'm like, oh, that's cute. You know, they all found some me time to hang out with their friends. Isn't that adorable? And then in the course of their conversation, and again, I'm not trying to eavesdrop. I just can't help overhear. One of them says about a woman that she's been telling a story about who's not there. You know, she's a total tiger mom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I've never heard that before. What is that? Is that a thing? So I text Molly Wood, and yep. I'm like, have you heard of the tiger mom, Molly Wood?
And I go, oh, yeah, that's been a thing for a while. And I send him a couple of links, and we talk about the author. And he's like, I'm gonna let's do that. I want to do this on the show. And I say, okay. Things I should tell you include. Yes.
Well, and that's exactly why I want to do it on the show, because I heard this thing and I'm like, well, that's a weird phrase. I don't know. I guess I can kind of guess what it means. But it did not actually mean anything close to what I thought it meant. And apparently has a whole controversial history behind it because of the author of the book.
Right, who has gotten more controversial since. This is the part where we're going to back up and say what it is, in case you also, like Tom, had not heard this phrase before. Tiger Mom was a part of the title of a book about parenting that came out a few years back. I'm going to Google it, by Amy Schwa. I'm certain that I'm saying that wrong.
When you first told me that, I was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, it's just the name of a book. I thought it was like a phrase that kind of evolved on its own, but all right.
It was called Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, and it came out in 2011. And I was laughing because Tom was like, have you heard of this? And I'm like, yeah, dude, we all read this book. Like,
yeah,
we
yeah.
all read it because we were like, what are we? Because it's just like, what are we doing wrong? Everything. And it describes a very strict style of parenting that she describes as essentially being typical for immigrant Chinese parents. And
okay.
So it became then like problematic because when you would say tiger mom, you were stereotyping Asian parents in particular.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And that's, then, yeah.
Mm, yeah,
that's,
totally.
That's tricky though, because dear friend Roger Chang, who is son of Taiwanese immigrants and roots in China, talks about the strict parenting of his culture all the time. So that, you know, the strict culture part is certainly a real thing. Fresh off the boat, the television show often pokes fun at the mother character being strict about after school and getting A's and all, and plays into all of that stuff. So that is a thing out there in the world.
Right. And in fact, in 2014, not that long after, there was a really big study and all this research, I will put the link in the show notes, that attempted to get to the bottom of this and look at whether, in fact, Asian American students performed better in school and whether, in fact, there was like a sort of a cultural reason behind that. And it kind of said yes a little bit, that it really is, there are some priorities that are different than you know, American students are more like slackers. So Time did this piece that essentially said that according to this large study, the tiger mom effect is real. I'm reading their headline. That's their headline.
And that's the strict, in other words, the idea of being a strict parent and being very closely involved in the academic performance of your child, right? Am I getting that right?
Yep, exactly. And the book, the Amy Chua book, was really, it was like a Mommy Dearest style retelling of this kind of parenting, and it was really harsh.
Ouch. Okay.
Yeah. It's not a like a fun read. It's just, she sort of describes herself. It's like a memoir. But it's interesting because, like, if you look it up on Urban Dictionary, it sounds like what Urban Dictionary says is that it showed up in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the Joy Luck Club, some 2006 movie called Vitus.
Okay.
V-I-T-U-S.
Sure. Sounds Roman.
I don't really know. But it's like, it's this super, it's really interesting. And I hear people say it, but then if you like do a web search for, is it racist to call someone a tiger mom? It's just, it got a little bit messy. And then apparently, yeah.
Well, because I've actually had this conversation with Roger, because my grandfather particularly, who was the son of German immigrants, had this same attitude with right. my mom, who was his daughter, and even with us, his grandchildren, about being very strict and you need to get A's and all of that. And I feel like, I think that's just a natural outcome of being an immigrant, which is like, I worked really hard to get us over here and start a better life wherever here is, whether it's the United States or somewhere else. So don't blow it. Right. You kid are my legacy. And I'm going to set you up for success. So where it gets tricky is not the concept. I think that's a real concept. It's just calling
totally.
It tiger mom sounds like maybe it only applies to Asians, and the book being written by an Asian woman then it starts to attach a lot of things to it, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I think that, and then I think people start to attach it as a term for like a sort of a denigrating term.
Yeah. Like, oh, she's such a tiger
Asian
mom.
Parents.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And they mean it in a disapproving way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it got to be this like kind of loaded term. Even though I think you're right. But I think, Tom, like, you raise a really good point, which is like a lot of the people that I know who are first generation talk a lot about just like immigrant culture. She's like, I have this one woman who constantly jokes about keeping all of her money under her mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll be like, I'm an immigrant. I'm putting all my money under my mattress and I'm studying hard in school. And she's a Cuban immigrant, you know, but it just like, I think you're absolutely right that some of it gets ascribed to Asian culture when really it's sort of more like it's the, if you are really working hard to succeed, then you try harder. And a lot of like American kids don't have to work that hard. maybe to succeed.
Well, and I also know that there are plenty of people who aren't.
This is also an overstatement, clearly.
Yeah, it was anyway, like there are plenty of people who aren't first generation immigrants who have parents who are really strict and make them work hard, right? It's like any of these sort of things, like nothing's universal.
Right.
It just may be more prevalent naturally because of conditions. And I'm sure there are people who are immigrants who don't crack down so hard on their children too. Nothing's universal. And where it goes, where it becomes troublesome for me, and the whole reason I'm bringing it up is kind of pointing out, like, these days when you overhear something, you can't just start using it, right?
Totally.
Because you don't know
exactly
the whole. I just thought, like, oh, tiger mom sounds like a fun slang term for somebody that means something, and I'm not sure what it is. And I didn't bother looking it up. I just went to Molly, my personal mom Wikipedia, and I'm glad I did, because I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I don't really want to wade into that. Start throwing that term around and have somebody go, do you really know what you're saying?
And have somebody be like, you know, that's a little, I know exactly. And it is one of those things where it's very hard to draw the, also I'm convinced that Tom was trying to get revenge on me a little bit for making him talk about waxing and bidets.
Like, certainly not consciously.
Have,
I don't know. Maybe
a super uncomfortable conversation about like problematic racial terms.
Those are the best conversations.
Trick Molly into making a wide-ranging statement that says like, all American kids are spoiled brats. yay. Good job me. But no, it is like, this is one of those things too, where my son has this like really woke history teacher, and his history teacher is always telling him that certain things are racist. Mm-hmm. This is racist. This is racial profiling. This is that. This is that. And there are times when I'm like, well, can we find a middle ground between racist and problematic?
Like, yeah.
And I think Tiger Mom is something that falls squarely into, it just became problematic. It just got like a little, it got messy.
It kicked over the line.
It got even messier because Amy Schwa, and I just can't wait to get the corrections because I know I'm saying this wrong, but then wrote a couple more books that were basically about tribalism and identity that people really came after her for.
Suffice to say, she wrote a couple of books that upset people after that, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter what they were about, to be honest.
For similar reasons, because she sort of lumped together, you know, certain groups of people and people from different countries and attempted to say, these people from these countries are like this. This tribe is like this. And it's just not it's not the time to have that conversation.
So, when does the game start?
There we go.
This is the escape room.
We should look for clues.
What are we looking for here?
Anything that looks like a puzzle or a code. It looks like an oven dial.
That's just a bit of the trailer for the movie Escape Room.
I wanted to escape. I would like to escape this conversation to my thing, which is escape rooms, which it turns out, and this is definitely one of those things where, like, no, it's not a brand new thing, but I think we have hit peak escape room because now there was a movie about it. There was like some low budget horror movie that I did not see or didn't even know was a thing until I started looking stuff up about escape rooms, because I was like, these are kind of a huge thing right now.
Yeah, it had one of the lady from Daredevil and True Blood. She's in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which lady?
Baby Jessica from True Blood.
No, that didn't help. The Daredevil one would have helped.
Well, she's the secretary at the beginning of Daredevil, and then she becomes a journalist by the end.
Oh, okay. Karen.
Karen, thank you.
Yes, totally. I'm like, nice, right? I'm like, go with the Marvel Universe. That will help me more.
Fair enough.
Karen. Anyway, escape rooms are a thing. Have you ever been to one?
No.
Me neither.
But I will back you up on them being a thing. Because I definitely noticed when I was in Hawaii that the place that used to be a Borders in the Whalers Village Shopping Center is now an escape room.
Oh, really? I mean, it had to become something, but that's hilarious. There was an article in USA Today about 10 months ago talking about what a thing they are. And it basically said that in 2014... there were only 22 escape rooms in the entire United States. And now there are about, or as of, you know, late 2018, mid 2018, there were about 2,300. And they're still just like popping up left and right.
And I, when they first came around, I had a few friends who were way into them and going to do them and raving about them. And I thought, okay, well, this is a thing for a certain kind of person, not claustrophobic, probably. But there, first of all, I've had some other people who are kind of claustrophobic. Like, no, that doesn't, it's not like that. It's not like escape from an elevator, right? Or at least most of them aren't. Right. It's just puzzle solving.
I thought all of them were scary because I got invited to a scary
one. Right, I thought so too.
A friend had a birthday party that was a scary one, and I was like, no, I don't want to go to that. But apparently they're not. Like, a lot of them are themed. Some of them are for kids. There might be, like, branded ones, like Jurassic Park ones or something. Apparently there's quite a range of them. And, in fact, you know it's a big deal because within the last couple of weeks here, somebody made one on Fortnite.
Oh yeah,
an escape maze in creative.
Yeah,
huge. Yeah, but it's puzzle solving, and apparently, so I have some friends who were telling me that they just did one, and I think they're pretty hard. Like, I think it's not one of those things where you always succeed. In fact, they said that this woman told them that only about 20% of the people who went through that escape room actually, like, got all the puzzles right and won.
This feels a need, and I'm not sure it fills it for me, but I think it fills a need that I have noticed where you want to leave the house, right? You just want to go out and do something. It's a nice day out and you want to get outside your house, but you don't want to eat because you either are on a diet and you can't eat anything anywhere, or you just ate at home and you're trying to save money. You don't want to shop because you're trying to save money. What else is there? In the United States of America, that's pretty much it, right? Oh, you can see a movie. Oh, well, I don't want to see
it. Trapped in a room? You're hilarious.
Well, I think for some people, it's like, I want to do something, but what are my options? I could shop, eat, or see a movie. I guess you can go bowling, you know?
You could. I feel like I'm about to be your mom right now. You can go outside and go for a hike and enjoy nature.
Some people don't like that, though. Or you might not be in the mood, or it's a little too cold. Yeah.
That's true. Apparently, according to the USA Today article, and this really made me laugh, they said escape rooms popularity coincides with the rise of social media and nerd culture.
I could see that because of the puzzle aspect, right?
Yeah. You totally get to show off how smart you are.
Right, right.
And potentially be the, like, obnoxious leader of the group that finds out how, you know, that gets to be the smartest one in the room. It's a whole thing. Oh, my God. Rich, our producer, put a link and said there are zombie escape rooms. That's not funny.
No, not
that's unacceptable. Yeah. No. Actually, my friends who went told me about that, too. They were like, you should go to one of those zombie ones. I'm like, have you lost your mind? Have you met me? I am the biggest chicken in the world. There's no way that I'm going to a zombie. I won't even do the, like, those runs. Oh, let's go to a zombie run and pretend to get chased by zombies. What is wrong with people?
I need a fun escape room. Right? One where it may be a little difficult to solve, but it's, you know, unicorns and rainbows, not zombies.
No, nothing scary. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out. Maybe it's a good birthday.
You're going to go to the zombie one?
No.
Oh, gosh.
Like, just an escape room. There are, you know.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to look for, like, a kid-friendly one.
I got rhetorical whiplash there for a second when you're like, maybe I'll try it out.
Oh, hilarious. Yeah, like... Maybe I'll dive with sharks and go to a zombie escape room.
Yeah,
I got this.
Why not?
No.
If you find one that's not scary but fun, it doesn't have to be unicorns and rainbows, but, like, you know, one that's like, oh, that was a fun puzzle to try to solve.
Yeah, no, that'd like a branded one. Yeah. I think, you know, it seems like there's some fun ones out there. I don't know. I think it's pretty funny that we're both talking about escape rooms being a thing when neither of us have done them. But yeah. I now know
they're around.
So many people who are like, oh, yeah, we did that for my birthday. Or we did that. It's a team building thing. It's a big corporate thing.
Yeah. That's what I mean. The fact that there was one in Hawaii, speaking of, hey, you could just go right there to the beach, for instance. Like, yeah, I think that speaks to the popularity of it.
Oh, apparently brands are starting to use them, not just like for movies or whatever, but in June, there was one about how Snickers did a hunger bunker.
That's just fun to say.
It is. It really is. Tasks guests with selecting a new flavor, but it was an immersive escape room.
Okay.
Audi. Oh, my God.
Wow.
This is totally a thing.
Now we're onto a thing here.
Now we're into the money. Now I should probably suggest this to my editors. There was a bar one. Clubhouse offers its customers immersive escape in ice cold rooms. Ooh, but then had drinks.
Oh, well, all right. I'm like, that sounds, drinks? Okay.
I'd go to this Audi one. Man, like, solve a bunch of car puzzles and hang around this car. Oh my God, I can't believe I just fell for that.
Our producer Rich says he's organized IT events and it's the most popular activity they've done for entertainment.
Oh my goodness. Yep. There you go. Yep.
There is no
escape. In journalism, we don't build teams. So, no, I'm just kidding.
No, actually, the journalists.
Hi, bosses. We totally do.
They're
we
all put in isolation rooms and forced to compete with each other.
Yeah.
Well, my other thing is going to be a little lighter. It's just something I observed recently. So, you know, the trope is elevator music is what you get when you're in an elevator or in a waiting room, right? I'm especially thinking of like waiting rooms in doctor's office, dentist office, eye doctor, places like that, right? You know, usually it's throughout my life, it's been the light music, the Muzak provided mm-hmm. music. Mm-hmm. Lately, I've noticed it's almost always classic rock.
Oh, God.
It's
really
it's the aging out of Muzak. I think it was my barber actually where I noticed this, where it's just like, oh, okay, so this is the least offensive music now is classic rock. It's, you know, Aerosmith, the Beatles, Rolling Stones.
Oh, that's how old we are.
Well, because the baby boomers have all aged into the, like, we're the oldest people you could probably offend in this waiting room. So play something we like and then everybody will be happy.
We'll give you the walk this way. That's, it's kind of amazing. There must be some study that has a Venn diagram of like waiting room music to, you know, age of people visiting. Like it'd be, that's not going to happen in, I don't know, the waiting room for, it's going to be like the doctor's office, right? Because now we're getting old enough to have to go to the doctor more.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but
when
you know.
Does NSYNC show up in the waiting room is what you're asking.
Yeah, exactly. And then will we know that we have actually hit peak doctor's age?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I took my tweenager to a concert the other day for his early birthday present. And okay. It was Panic at the Disco.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, no, I mean, I was totally like, oh, my God, I'm the mom at the concert. Like, at least I didn't. When I was growing up, my mom used to take us to wrestling events.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, the old, like, you know, WWF.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the
before
day.
The E. Nice.
Before the E. And she would always bring a book. She would always bring, like, a paperback and just sit there and read her book.
That's
while my brother
match.
And I watched wrestling.
That's great.
And I was like, is this going to be me at Panic of the Day? They were awesome. They were actually really great. But
okay.
Their opening band, hold on, I have to look at it. Because literally as soon as I started talking about him, I forgot the name.
I don't even know Panic at the Disco, to be honest. I mean, I've heard the name. That's it.
You're like, I'm
that's
going with it.
Yeah.
But damn it. What is it? Oh, hold on. Crush Culture. This opening band was so young. Conan Gray is
sounds like a YouTuber.
Singer. Yep. Who I think he really is. And he came out and he was sort of like, he has this great hair.
Uh-huh.
He looks about 19 years old.
Sure.
He's dressed a little like Where's Waldo.
Yeah.
He's like rolled up pants and white socks and like Keds on. And I mean, these girls behind me just lost their mind. Like the full on screaming.
Like
the
Beatles
full
screams.
On screaming.
Wow.
Real screams. And this the names of his songs are like Generation Y, W-H-Y.
H-Y, of course.
And it's just, you know, all about like we keep hearing that we're lazy and dumb and Generation Y. And then one called
Generation
Crush.
X got the same thing. I think, yeah.
Yeah, I know, totally. Yeah, let's talk. And then Crush Culture,
mm-hmm.
which is basically like put down Instagram and stop feeling like you have to have a crush on someone because, yeah, I mean, it's like.
That's how you know what's on the
amazing.
Mind of the people. Listen to their music.
It was amazing. I mean, I was just like, oh, this is so great. I got a secret look at the. At the children, the world of the
behind
children.
The scenes.
Panic at the Disco has been around for like 15 years. They're actually, they've
That's
been around.
Why
a long
I recognize
time.
The name because, yeah.
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 But yeah, it was actually a pretty awesome show. I had a good
nice.
Time. I tried not to have too good a time so I didn't embarrass the children. But Conan Gray, just keep your eyes peeled, everybody. He's going to be a thing.
In 60 years, Conan Gray will be playing in waiting rooms.
We'll be in the waiting room. That's amazing.
No, I just find it funny. But just one last thing on the waiting room music. Find it funny because the Muzak was always criticized, right? Like, it's just vapid music. And even before Muzak was classic rock, they would play classical music. Like, it's always chamber music, boring class. Why don't you play some rock and roll? And now it's like, guess what? Your rebellious rock and roll is now the boring music.
Oh, that's so upsetting.
I know.
And it just fades into the background and like no one even hears it. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I like want to reject this. I want there to be another reason. And yet I know in my heart that you're totally right.
And I wonder like, and it's not like you get all, you know, there's not a lot of Led Zeppelin in these mixes, you know, at least I didn't hear it. So there may be some edges that they round off, but
I did think that we hit a cultural nadir recently when I saw that Capital One had licensed Let's Go Crazy by Prince for a commercial. And I just wanted to write to them and be like, nope, no. Like, you do not need to be the brand that gets to capitalize on Prince's music coming into, because he died without a will, being available for licensing for crappy credit card commercials.
But apparently they do get to be that.
Like, hard pass.
Kind of the way Nike was able to license John Lennon.
Yeah.
Everyone felt the same. Like, that's it. Culture's ended.
Culture's ended.
Yeah.
Or maybe one other explanation for that music showing up in waiting rooms is that it's cool again, just like all the TV shows from the 90s.
Yeah, the TV shows from the 90s are like, it's hilarious to watch the millennials talk about Friends for me.
Oh my God, I know. So watching, this is my other thing for today, which is watching old TV shows with your kids. But actually, as we're talking, what I'm realizing is that the trend is, in fact, the 90s.
Right.
Like all these kids, yeah, younger than millennial too, like Gen Z, like Gen Y, like Conan Gray and my kid and Gen Z are the ones who they're all about the 90s and they love the look and they love the style and they're going back to all those old shows. And I think Friends is the show that got them all into watching old shows.
I like to make these comparisons numerically. So these shows were all from the 10 years before these people were born, roughly speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the decade before you were born. When I was growing up, watching shows from the 60s was pretty fascinating to me. I Love Lucy, Ozzie and Harriet, Andy Griffith Show, Gunsmoke. So there's something to that. The difference is, back then, we had to wait for Channel 11, the independent station in St. Louis, to decide to play a few of these things when they wanted to. And we'd sit down and be like, okay, now we're going to watch the Brady Bunch.
Stop. You could get it on VHS.
Not till the mid-80s.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Dang. But I guess by the time I was Conan Gray's age, I could get it on VHS. But even then, you wouldn't rent television shows. You only had a few rentals you were going to get at the Blockbuster, right? So you weren't going to waste it on television shows. You're getting movies most of the time.
I wonder if they even had them. Yeah,
they did. I think they did have some, but not all the shows. Only the I remember MASH, the television show, was available on VHS, for instance. So this is I guess the point I was making is these days there's no like I have to go get the VHS. It's just there. They're all there. Right. Yeah.
So if their 90s fetish leads them to Friends, then they suddenly discover what's super fascinating, I think. And I was saying this to some media, I was presenting to like some media executives and I was saying, oh, yeah, no. As these kids get older, they really attach to brands because then they'll be like, oh, NBC made Friends. What else they got? And I think that's what led us to The Office. So we have now we have now watched all of the Friends back catalog. All of The Office back catalog. I think my kids watch it multiple times because he just keeps whatever. There's marathon, and you can tell it's a thing because there's Office marathons on now all the time.
Yeah.
And
Brian Brushwood, my friend, I bring up Brian Brushwood a lot, but he's one of my friends I know who has three daughters. So that's going to happen. He watches The Office with one of his daughters as he is driving her to school. That's their thing. She watches it on her phone and he listens because he's seen them all. And then they talk about it.
Oh my God, so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there that definitely The Office is a thing in the rewatching department. I think we have departed the thing lane a little bit because we just started watching Community.
Yeah, well maybe it's not all just 90s, right? It's the 90s or the fascination and then it leads you to rewatch other things.
Right. Because we also watched 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm. Which was Community and 30 Rock, perfect outgrowths from The Office.
Yep, exactly. So we just, what we're doing is just moving through time and, mm-hmm. and rewatching all these old shows. But it, you're right. It really, it's like a, it's like an anthropological study for him. He's just like, what were people like?
Is this what it was really like back then?
They were like this in the 90s, and they were like this in the early and mid 2000s.
Oh my gosh. You know, I just realized that you were bringing your son that you're watching The Office with to A's games as a baby mm-hmm. while The Office was on the air.
Yeah. Oh, God. I know. It's pretty bonkers.
And I have pictures of that on my phone still.
I know. The one where we pretended he was drinking a beer.
Yes.
Tom used to get a box because he had season tickets. Yeah. It was awesome.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. We also, we have known each other a long time.
Yeah. That's true, too. Mm-hmm. Well, we can, then you can show pictures of what life was like from your phone.
Yeah. I mean, like, it looked like this.
You know, Scott yep. Johnson does this with his kids with like really old shows, like MASH, for instance. He was going back. He rewatched like 70s era MASH, like right from the beginning with his kids.
Well, Abed on Community talks about MASH all the time. So maybe that'll be our next show.
Oh, see. Yeah. You've got like background research now to get the reference. What is he talking mm-hmm. about? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Well, while Tom was texting me about Tiger Moms, and I was finding places to watch all of these old shows, I was frantically texting Tom about my just like secret side thing, which is cutting the cord. It's not even secret. It's just that my purely personal thing. Although I did see an article today that said that cord cutting hit an all-time high in the last quarter of 2018. I believe yep. I'm pulling that up right now.
I saw that too. And in fact, not only that, it not yeah. only hit the all-time high, but for the first time this last quarter, the number of people dropping traditional cable and satellite was more than the number of people subscribing to online streaming replacements. So they didn't make it up. Usually it's been like, oh, PlayStation View and Sling TV and Hulu Live and YouTube TV, they got actually more subscribers than the number of people who left cable and satellite. So it's, you know, the unit, it's just shifting. It's shifting to the, not it's this, shifting. Not this quarter. This quarter, so like, people just left. They were like, wow. Nah, forget it. I'm just going to use Netflix and over the air, I guess.
So it was like the publishers previously were still getting paid. That's really interesting. Well, yeah, right. I quit and got a TV, or immediately got a TV replacement, which feels a little like, it is a little lame. It's not really cord cutting. It's like I got a different internet because Sonic finally brought gigabit to my neighborhood. Which is awesome.
That's great. Yeah.
But I got this cable replacement package, so I really don't feel, other than it being a little slower to work with, like I really don't feel like I cut the cord. And I was thinking last night, I'm like, this is, I mean, it's saving me money. It definitely is. But it's saving me like $40 a month, not like $100 a month.
Sure.
But it could be saving me $100 a month if I could figure out how to wean myself off of needing to have these live channels available. And I'm kind of curious to see how my own usage evolves. And if I get to the point where I'm like, actually, I really don't. Because when I did set up my favorite channels and realized I only watch, you know, FX, mm-hmm. HGTV, and like sci-fi, I was like, do I really need that?
Well, and that's the thing, right? I think what I say on the show Cord Killers.
And Warriors Games.
Right.
And that's a big one.
What I say on Cord Killers all the time is cord cutting isn't about just saving money. It can be about saving money. It's about control. It's about giving you control over your television. So you can decide to save money or not, but you get to decide when right. you cancel, when you add, what packages you're going to have. Right now, it's a little crazy, the number of services out there, and it's going to get a little crazier before it gets better, but it'll eventually shake out, and the benefit is not going to be like, oh, wait a minute, it's just cable all over. It's like, we've got national competitors. So instead of one cable company, maybe two, you're going to have six. And you, instead of having to get on the phone and talk to them because they know they've got you over a barrel, you'll be able to cancel an ad online. And you can, and right. not even will be able to, you can. And so to me, that's the biggest thing, is that you can sit there and think, I wonder if I could wean myself away from this, and not think, oh, but it's going to be such a pain because it's bundled. Right. You can just be like, yeah, I just go online and cancel it. Or I can try a different package. And there's things like Fubo TV that are all about sports, with a few Viacom channels. If you're like, yeah, I don't really care about everything, I just want my sports, maybe that one's a little cheaper for you. It's all about shopping around and finding the package that works for you that has been made possible. It was totally impossible before.
I'm loving listening to you do like your podcast right now. It's so great. But it's totally true. And I actually just today, so I've done 2 days of, I'm in the free trial period for PSVU. Okay. And then tonight I'm going to sign up for the free trial of DirecTV Now. Like, I just thought, wait a second, I don't even have to commit to one of these right now. I'll just try them all at the same time because each one of them is just an app that I install. Like, it really, and also the thing that really makes me happy is that $60 of my monthly payment to Comcast is not fees.
Right.
Or $60 of my monthly payment to Comcast was fees.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Like rental stuff and a fee for the privilege of having television and a this and that. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, no matter how cheap they could get my quote unquote package, it would still be like another $50 or $60 in fees. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I am not giving you my money for no reason. Like, that's just absurd. And so even if I ended up paying if I subscribed to every digital freaking thing that I possibly could and I ended up paying the same or more, I would still be happy because at least every dollar that I contribute is for content.
And you can decide that it's not worth it at any point. And not have to like, well, I got to finish my contract or whatever, right? Yeah, I think that's great. And people are getting upset right now because we're still in the mindset of, but I pay a thing and I get everything, right? And it's like, well, not all the packages have all the channels. And not all the stuff is available. The stuff on Netflix is not available on any of the cable replacement channels. Well, guess what? It's also not available on cable. And so some Hulu originals are not available unless you get Hulu. And CBS All Access is now an extension of that. People get really angry because it's called CBS. I feel like it would have been smarter to just, you know, call it like the TV stuff.
Star Trek subscription channel. Yeah. They should call it the Star Trek subscription channel.
And Good Wife like, and oh, Star okay, Trek fans channel. But we have to get over the fact of like, I have to have everything all the time. I keep saying it's like books. You don't get all the books all the time and you don't read all the same books. You just decide which books you're going to read and you read them.
It is really funny. Why is it so much easier for us to ignore the entire universe of books, but we have so much FOMO about TV? Actually, Rich, our producer, brilliantly puts it in the Discord. That's why you need to experience JOMO by not watching all the cool series. The one I have JOMO on and will continue to have JOMO on is, I am sorry to say, Star Trek on CBS All Access, because I'm just not going to pay for it. I'm not paying for one show. That's absurd.
Just buy it.
Oh, I can do that?
Yeah, just go on to iTunes or Vudu or someplace, and you have to wait till the season's over. You can just buy it on demand.
Hold on 1 second. I have to hug the child. He's leaving.
Aw, goodbye.
Call you later.
We'll miss you.
Taking the dog.
Hey, you know what's the thing? CD players. They're cool.
Get out of here. All right, bye.
90s.
Dog food above the stove.
Yeah, CD players aren't a thing.
Scram. Are the 90s a thing? Yes or no?
Yes. Bring back overalls and suspenders.
He says, bring back overalls and suspenders.
I mean, from the mouths.
Oh, look. Oh, look, his stepmom is here wearing overalls. I told you she's a millennial. I overshared the crap out of you on this podcast. I hope you're fine with that.
Okay. All right, we're going.
Okay, bye, team.
Live thing action being shot at you. That's amazing.
Seriously, the fact that his millennial stepmom came in her overalls is maybe the greatest thing that ever happened. Because 90s. Boom!
CD players and overalls. Got
it. It's not often that the universe delivers so directly.
I know.
But in this case.
That was beautiful.
I'll take it. Yeah.
Better than anything I could have ever planned.
Also, we didn't totally. Rich says he can edit out the podcast plug, which I appreciate. You Discord folks, if you go find it, you know, he won't be mad, but
if you could hear
he's such a lazy little American child that he could only be bothered to put up a trailer so far, and it's been 2 weeks.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Just saying.
Eventually, maybe. Uh-huh. I'll get around to it. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
On
that note.
Yes, the cord cutting adventure continues. I hope you'll keep us apprised. I wanted to tell you before we move on though, Hulu Live Television actually works on your Echo show.
I know. Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I have totally watched shows. I was watching The First while I was cooking dinner the other day on my Echo show because it's freaking amazing. That is like the best. You guys, I know it's spying on me. I know the camera's probably looking at me. I know that there's like so much evil. Somebody actually like wrote back to me on Instagram, was like, I can't believe you bought that. You're the reason that I don't own this. And I was like, I don't care. It's my favorite thing that I've bought in so long. I love it.
And you can get live television on it. That's,
yeah.
I mean, you could just say like, play the baseball game when it's on and they'll play the baseball game. It's crazy.
Wait, is that if I'm, do I need a subscription?
If you add Hulu's live television package, its cable replacement package, it also works on the show.
I didn't even pick up what you were laying down.
That's
there.
What I'm trying to tell you.
I don't want PS View after all.
Free trials. Just free trials.
I'm going to get it. Now I'm going to get that immediately.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is awesome. I love, I have to say, so far, other than like, oh, it's really slow to change channels on PS View or whatever, you know.
No, it's not for channel surfing. I wish somebody figured that out. Right? Yeah.
Well, it just takes so long to boot up, but maybe it's because my Fire TV stick is like 2 weeks.
Yeah. If you have an older one, they do get sluggish. Yeah.
All right. But either way, I'm happy so far.
Well, shall we get to some emails then?
I believe we should. We got an email from Sarah, which delighted me. She said, I was listening to the Western Boots episode on my way to work. Tom was just saying he couldn't remember what it's called when you learn a new word and see it everywhere in reference to seeing Jeep Wranglers all over the place, reprising the topic from a previous ep. And at that very moment, I pulled into the parking lot at work and lo and behold, and she sent us a picture of a silver Jeep.
Silver Jeep!
Silver Jeep Wrangler. She said, this came out of nowhere. It was quite some time before I could stop laughing long enough to get into work.
That's which is hysterical. Fantastic. T Porter 2 pointed out that evidently Phil Mickelson's calves are a thing now that golfers can wear shorts. Phil Mickelson's calves are the most improbable golf trend ever, according to this Golf Digest story.
But he did also put a picture in the Discord chat, and those calves are like glass. You could cut yourselves on his calves. Look at the muscles. Also, why does he have those weird muscles on the inside?
That's what like I was looking at. Muscles. Yeah, he's got like extra knees.
What? His calves, you guys, like on the inside of his
calves. He's got calves on his calves.
He has two patellas attached to the insides of his calves. Wow, I mean, I can see why.
Two patellas is the name of my George Harrison cover band?
Two patellas. That's the name of my aging parents podcast, because that's all I ever talk to my parents about is their knees.
Is the patella. Yeah. Eileen just slipped at a mall and hurt her patella the other day.
Oh, it's a thing. Patellas are a thing. two patellas. Luckily, you got two, so if you hurt one, you're still okay. All right. This seems like a good time to end the show.
Yes. Thank you, folks, for supporting us at patreon.com/itsathing. There are all kinds of cool things you get there, including an ad-free version of the RSS feed that you can use in any of your podcast apps. At a certain level, you get some bonus content of us chatting before and after the show. And at the highest level, you get a shout-out. So shout-out to Chaz and Mike for supporting
shout
us
out.
The most that they can.
Shout out. That is at itsathing.me/Patreon. Patreon.com/itsathing. Maybe itsathing.me/Patreon. I actually don't know.
No, I don't think so, but we can make
that
happen.
I don't think so. Yeah. But by the time you hear this, maybe it will be. But itsathing.me is where you can go for the back episodes and to leave comments. And thank you for all that you do for our itsathing community, friends.
You're our thing.
You're our thing. Bye.
Bye now. Just a beat of rhythm to the beat of life.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.